The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And welcome back. A number of things that we would like to talk to Alex Scarborough about. He's talked to Lane Kiffin, Zach Arnett. He's always got some thoughts on what's happening in Tuscaloosa. Alex, thank you. Appreciate you being with us. Let's start with Lane Kiffin. The really interesting story you did with him recently, that Lane Kiffin is now telling us what he wasn't telling us earlier, that he was struggling with the Auburn position and could it have affected the end of the year when the Rebels lost five straight. Good afternoon. Tell us all about it.
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, he kind of sit there and in the air. So did it? Was it a distraction? I don't know. It depends on which player you ask. I think that for the most part, they as a team handled it well. But I think he really struggled with what he felt was trying to do the right thing during the course of those. I think it was about 3 weeks from the time Harsin was fired. We immediately connect Lane to the job when he inevitably turns it down. I think he was trying to be honest and recognizing that, you know, this is an actual opportunity you have to think about. Auburn's a place that has a recent strong history of winning. I mean, there's been a bunch of coaches there that have finished one or two in the final polls, and he'd be foolish not to consider it. But at the same time, he wasn't going to come out like a lot of coaches, and you can probably pick out who will say whenever they're connected to a job, I'm never leaving, I'm not going anywhere, don't ask me about it. He didn't want that to blow back on him. So I think he tried to do it the way he thought was best, which is talk about it as little as possible, but don't deny it and hold off as long as he can. He makes the decision and says, you know, I don't want to make an announcement before the Egg Bowl because then I'm making the whole thing about me. You know, I'm just going to tell my players and inevitably they lose and everybody's upset thinking they can connect the dots and he's the reason they lost. So he kind of throws up his hands and says, you know, what am I supposed to do, while also acknowledging if we had just won a little bit more down the stretch, maybe this isn't a consideration, but it is. And I think there are some Ole Miss fans that are still a little bit hurt about the way that went down, but if you ask Lane Kiffin, he'll tell you all that should really matter is that I'm still here and we're still going ahead, when a lot of coaches at Ole Miss who have been able to, or the coaches at Ole Miss who have been connected to Auburn inevitably leave to Auburn, he has stayed.
Alex, when Lane Kiffin says something like, I didn't want anybody to think it was all about me, are we supposed to believe that based on some of his antics, his Twitter profile, and some of the other things that he does?
I think in this case, he's coming from a place of genuinely trying. It didn't work, obviously. I think there's a little foolishness of thinking that people aren't going to already be talking about this, that this isn't going to be the focus of everything in that game. But, I mean, it's kind of a darned if you do, darned if you don't situation, right? You deny it, and you end up taking it, and you look like your word means nothing. You come out and you do what he did, which is try to keep it as low-key as possible, don't deny it.
But Alex, didn't he go scorched earth on that TV reporter who said he was leaving immediately after the game to go to Auburn?
Indeed he did. And that was an odd situation, because if you've already made that decision, come out and say it. He definitely went after him in that case, and I think that was his frustration boiling over in that instance of saying, you know, again, I think Lane wants to be candid. I think he wants, in an ideal world, to be honest with everybody and say, I mean, clearly he doesn't mind saying what he's thinking. It's just hard to say anywhere in the SEC that another job in the SEC is worth considering without upsetting your entire fan base. So towing that line, I don't envy that he had to do it. I might envy the payday at the end of it all. So I think he can soak up his tears with multi-millions of dollars. I think he's doing all right when it's all said and done. I mean, but that doesn't make it less difficult.
Right. I mean, he cashed in with a small fortune. He lost the biggest game of the year, the two biggest games, to Alabama and to Mississippi State, both at home, which is such a, you know, great opportunity for a program like Ole Miss to steal one of those games at home, more than steal when he had beaten State 2 years in a row. Let me switch over to that, Zach Arnett, with the most difficult task of taking over after the absolute unspeakable tragedy connected to Mike Leach. How did you find him?
I found him really impressive for a guy who is 36 years old, a head coach for the first time, sitting in the big chair, and, oh, by the way, you're replacing an icon. And, you know, a lot of coaches would crumble under that situation. And, you know, granted, we haven't played a single game, but I think it's pretty telling that when presented with all that, he didn't try to just repeat what Mike Leach did. You know, he's connected to Mike forever. But because he was a defensive coordinator, I think a lot of people might have assumed, oh, he's just going to retain Mike's guys. They're going to continue running the air raid. It's going to be the program that he left behind. It is not that. Zach believes that they need to go in a different direction. They're going to be spread, but they're going to be a little bit – they're going to tweak what they do. It's not going to be a traditional air raid under Kevin Garbay. They're going to try to run the football a little bit more. They're going to use tight ends, which has not been a thing at Mississippi State since Mike Leach took over. And I think that speaks to both the confidence of Zach to say that I get one shot at this, I need to do it my way, but also what he learned from Mike, because Mike taught him, if anything else, there's two big things. One, keep things simple, and two, believe in what you do. And Zach told me, Mike Leach would not want him to do anything other than what he believed in completely. So if he believed in completely that they need to go in a different direction, that that's what he needed to do. So time will tell how long it takes to pivot. I think some of the roster needs to be changed and tweaked a little bit in terms of personnel, but they're pointed in a direction that I think that I would actually argue is more suited to what Mississippi State is in terms of being blue collar, grinded out. I think they're going to be able to run the football a little bit more and play a little bit more complementary football moving forward. Time will tell if that ends up, you know, helping out in the win-loss record. But the good news is he's got Will Rogers back, who has just put up massive numbers over the last few years and gives them probably the most veteran presence of any quarterback in the SEC.
Alex Scarborough with us from ESPN talking about a number of SEC schools. Let me get to the school that you cover the most or have covered the most. And that's Alabama. And, you know, Nick Saban said yesterday he's watching this quarterback battle. We're almost a week in, and you tell me, Alex, what are you hearing from Tuscaloosa, and how should Tide fans feel about some uncertainty for the first time in a long time?
Yeah, it's not just uncertainty. It's that it's just wide open. It's not like, oh, you know, when's the timing of this going to look like? Do they? You know, what direction do they go? It's, you know, is it Jalen Milroe? Is it Ty Simpson? Do you go with a younger quarterback like a Holstein or a Lonergan? You've got a bunch of guys there, and there's no clear front runner at all. There's no, I mean, you might argue that Milroe should be the guy. He was number two on the depth chart last year behind Bryce. He started the A&M game. That might lead you to believe, but then you go back and you watch, and you see a lot of inconsistencies, especially in the passing game. And, you know, being around the program at Alabama as long as I have, getting to know a little bit how Nick operates, if there's not trust in what you're going to do when you go out there, if you're going to go turn the ball over and make bad decisions, as Jalen did at certain points last year, is he really going to believe in him? Can he turn that around? Or is a guy like Ty Simpson, who I think they have a lot of faith in, they think can turn into a really good quarterback, how quickly can he develop considering how limited his opportunities were last year? He basically didn't play in the grand scheme of things as a redshirt. What's really interesting to me is which quarterback they choose, what that says about what the offense is in general. Because for the last however many years, the offense has run through the quarterback and run through. It's been passed to set up run, and it's changed so dramatically from what we first associated with Nick Saban in Alabama, where it was the Bryce Young show. And before that, it was the Mac Jones and the Tua Tagovailoa show. And it was putting the ball in the air and all these things. And they lost a little bit of what they were in terms of the identity. And bringing Tommy Rees from Notre Dame seems to be going back a ways. It's saying, we're going to maybe go under center a little bit more. We're going to play with some more tight ends. We're going to run the football a little bit more. And if it's a more conservative style of offense, more really run-based,
do you go with Jalen Milroe, who's really good at that part of the game, strong, fast, and athletic? Or do you try to keep some of those dynamic passing attempts and go with one of those other guys? That, to me, I think we might learn a lot about not just who the quarterback is, but what they want to be offensively moving forward based upon that decision.
Beyond the quarterback position, he's bringing in one of the best classes, maybe the best that he's ever had, and he needs it when you consider what is departing. I realize it's early, and I realize reporters don't get a lot of viewing of anything down there, but what are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, we lost practice viewing during COVID, and I don't know, we still haven't gotten it back. Maybe one day we'll get that and we can get a more of a first-hand glimpse. But I will say, I think overall they like the talent they brought in. No flash bulb there. But I think where they brought it in, especially at the running back position and the depth they're going to have there this year. Again, I go back to who they're going to be offensively with the Justice Hay. They got a bunch of really good running backs in that class, plus what they have coming back. I think it might be more by committee, but it might be better in aggregate than it was last year, where you were relying so much on Jahmyr Gibbs, and he was more of an outside runner, get the ball in space type guy, that they were missing the physicality piece of it. So to have those backs, to have an offensive line that you think can take a step forward next year, and then have pieces here and there, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I think they're in pretty good shape overall, but it's going to come down to the quarterback position. In today's game, in the SEC, you have to have elite quarterback play in order to compete for an SEC championship and therefore a spot in the playoffs. So all these pieces, if they come together, are nice, but ultimately they're going to need the quarterback to show up and play.
I'm tempted to ask you the same question I asked you a minute ago, hoping for a different answer. Maybe we will learn more as we work our way through the spring. Alex, thanks so much. Come back soon. We want to continue to talk to you on this subject. We are heading to a break right now. And your phone calls. We have Trey Burton, who was testifying in front of Congress yesterday in the final hour. We're back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Dr. Ray is in Texas, and you are next up. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, just Doc Ray. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
Hey, just a couple of housekeeping bits. Jim, man, he's like a fire. You know, the more oxygen you give him, the bigger in the danger it gets. So we just need to stop giving him oxygen and he'll go away. And I have to say something also about you and the Bama touting. So would you agree with me that Alabama had the best two players all last year?
Oh, absolutely.
I would too. Now, I'm a Georgia grad. I'm a Bulldog. But they had a player. And they didn't have, but even with Anderson, they didn't have a defense. So now, you tout the top recruiting class coming in, but a few weeks ago, you reminded us that they also had lost half of their stars through the transfer portal. Not only that, they've got a new offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. I think Legend and all those guys are going to have to buy some ventilators, because I'm going to tell you right now, I bet they lose 3 games this year.
Well, I will tell you this, Ray. There's some serious issues for the first time, and you know, forgetting a new quarterback, and really Alabama hasn't had remotely a quarterback competition where you didn't know who was going to win probably for 8 years. And by the way, I'm not considering the Tua versus Jalen a quarterback competition of any great anxiety, considering they were both tremendous players. So you add that on top of 2 new coordinators and a schedule that it's manageable to a point, but that Texas game early is of great concern. I think the having Tennessee and LSU at home is a tremendous advantage for Alabama. But still, a lot of things could go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the saving grace is you got the best coach of all time.
But you know what? I don't know. So the road schedule, let me go over this. You have Texas at home, I mentioned. At State, at A&M, I'm not trying to bring back 2 years ago, but that you have to be a little concerned about that. I think the Kentucky game is a little weird, too. In November, I mean, if Kentucky on a roll with a transfer quarterback, Auburn, I'll spare the cliches. I don't think Alabama's in any danger of losing that game. But anyway, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Alan is up next. Good afternoon, Alan. Thanks for the call.
Hello, Mo.
Hey.
I was calling I told the guy up front that sometimes the show gets to be like the Fed chairman talking about interest rates and stock margins. There's so much knowledge on this show. People, sometimes get distracted being bored from the show. So that's when Jim and Legend and Larry and Jerome and all of them come in too. They got to get the tempo back up for the show.
Well, to me, Alan, you're watching your favorite TV show, whether it's a series, whether you're binging something from yesteryear. And, yeah, the story plot is the most important. But you do, even when it's an average plot, you're comforted by your friends on the show. You know every character. You know the families. You know the characteristics. The plot line. That's what this show is. Just when you think you're having a pretty average day, here comes Larry from left field or from the bar.
Well, he got a cooler full sitting right beside him, so he starts probably about lunchtime.
Then you got the frat house where everybody's piling out after a keg party. Alan, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Witt in North Carolina. Hello, Witt.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. I hope you're having a great day.
Thank you.
I was calling in. I heard some of your callers talking about some of the cupcake schedules that we see. And I've got an idea, and you know a lot more about the logistics with TV rights and things like that than I do, but I just wanted to bounce it off of you and see what you thought about it.
Thank you.
If you would allow your big time teams to schedule their non-conference games and not have revenue sharing on those games. Let them pocket all the revenue, the two teams involved. Say you had Alabama and Ohio State, for example. Let them make their own TV deal for that one particular game. And because just as good as I do, that money is what talks in college football nowadays. But I just wanted to bounce that off of you and see what your thoughts were. And I do appreciate your show, and I'll hang up and let you go at it.
Yeah, thank you. It's an interesting proposition, but it won't work, and here's why. You're in a league like the SEC, so you share with the conference everything. You're also obligated to participate in the television deals, and that's really where it is. The SEC has a deal going into effect next year with ESPN, and you'll have games on all of the ESPN or ABC or the SEC network. So you won't be able to do what you suggested, and I think it's a good theory, but in today's television environment, you can't do it because there's so much money to be made as a collective group. And next year, it's a 16 school league, which has additional value, and the numbers next year compared to even now are going to be astronomically larger. This is the final year that the SEC has had with on the CBS agreement that was done, I believe, in 2008, and every school will be making. I'm trying to think of it in my head. 3 to 5 times more money a year. So it's going to be one of the most dramatic changes. Next year, you not only have that, you'll likely have 9 conference games, and you'll also have a 12-team playoff. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Back with more of your phone calls. More guests to come a little bit later on. We're back after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Jace is up next as we continue here on a Thursday afternoon. Jace is in Augusta. Hello, Jace. Jace, you there?
Jace.
Jace must be checking out the dogwoods and the azaleas for next week.
No.
Hey, Jace, go right ahead.
I'm here, Paul.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base with a couple things. I see where one of your pundits had a AR-15 going in the first round from Florida. And I don't understand, why Stetson Bennett is not getting any consideration, past the 56th round.
Yeah, I checked that out today because I was curious about Stetson, and I think it was Jordan Reed, who's an ESPN guy, and he has Stetson either – I think he's in the 6th round. So that shows you he's down about the 10th quarterback. So that's the expert's view now. Everybody has a different one, but those guys are usually close to being right.
Well, he won back-to-back national championships.
Yeah, but Chase, I want to interrupt you. None of that apparently matters to the NFL experts.
Well, I mean, you have to look. You look at Alabama. Actually, Stetson Bennett is taller than Bryce is, and actually has a stronger arm.
So I will ask you this question, Jace. Jace, allow me to ask you this. Knowing all that, which we do, nothing you've told me makes me think any less of Stetson Bennett. Why do you think the perception is that he is that far down on the list? What do you think it is?
I don't think he should be that far down on the
list.
Well, that's not what I asked you,
because I'm here to tell you he is that far down on the list. So you're not thinking he belongs there isn't going to change anything. I'm more curious about why you think he is. What do you think people have against Stetson Bennett?
He's a proven winner.
Jace, let's start over again for a second. We know all that. Everybody knows everything about Stetson Bennett. What we don't know is why the NFL absolutely hates him based on the experts. And that's how they feel. I mean, there's no way a guy with his credentials, finishing top three in the Heisman, two national championships, could be ranked that low if the NFL collectively thinks he's going to be a contender in that league.
Okay. Well, you know.
Well, no. I want you to understand. I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm not telling you how I feel. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he would. He wouldn't be in my first round, but he might be after that.
No, I think he would be a third or fourth round pick. You know, but for the pundits to say he's fifth or sixth round are not even draftable, to me is insane.
Well, but that's what they are. I'm gonna read you this. Jordan Reed, who we've had Jordan on here, haven't we?
Yeah.
We need to. Oh, yeah. He was on. Let's see if we can get Jordan on in a couple of – whenever we can track him down, because I am he's the only one I've seen do the entire draft. And I believe he has Stetson. Give me a second to read this. Is he in the sixth round or the seventh? I don't know. But he's in one of the two rounds. Here it is. I was wrong. Round seven, Jordan has done the entire round. He has Stetson as the 227th pick in the draft.
Okay. I mean... So that's one guy.
Well, but that's not a guy who's just, you know, bellied up to a bar at closing time saying, I think this. This is a guy that talks to NFL scouts. He talks to GMs. And he's giving a projection based on what he has heard. I had Tannenbaum on the other day. He wasn't much higher on Stetson Bennett.
Well, you know, like I said, I think Stetson will go in the first four rounds. That's just my opinion. But for AR-15, you know, to be a projected first round pick.
Well, he is. Listen, Jace, I'm not arguing with you. I just want to make sure. I want to make it very clear. Stetson Bennett has not wowed anybody so far. He had a pro day. I didn't hear anybody talking about him afterwards. I can't tell you what's going on. I cannot tell you
actually,
what the issue is.
He did pretty good in the combine, So nobody.
He's done pretty good in the combine, and all he's done is gone down in the draft projections. Thanks for the call. I am not going to be Stetson Bennett's defender here. I'm just simply the communicator of bad news for Stetson Bennett fans. I have no idea why he is faring so poorly in the projections. Now, that doesn't mean he, 4 weeks from tonight, he's the first player taken in Kansas City. I'm betting he's not. I'm betting he's not there. Thank you for the call. Marvin is up next in Georgia. Hello, Marvin.
Hey, how are you doing there, guy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Okay, please help me understand how Congress got involved with college football.
Well, they're really not, Marvin. Here's what happens. I remember, I'll relate a story that I've told, but I was up in D.C. last year, last summer, during our downtime, and I met with a couple of senators that I knew, and I sat with Tommy Tuberville, the former coach, and he was telling me how he and Joe Manchin wanted to get this bill passed to cripple the transfer portal and to stifle NIL. And I said, when do you think you're going to get it done? He said, we're going to get it done immediately. We got universal support, and that was it. That was 8 months ago, 9 months ago. What happened yesterday, and we'll hear from a player who was there, is a couple of congressmen had a subcommittee hearing, and they never even really got on the main subject. Now, the Senate is a little more active. Cory Booker, a former athlete, he played football at Stanford, I think. He's a senator from New Jersey. He's very active and involved in this. I know Mitch McConnell has been consulted a number of times by commissioners. Blumenthal is part of it, Tuberville, Manchin, as I mentioned. And what's happened now, to make a long story somewhat short, is that many college administrators, from commissioners on down, have asked Congress to intercede, because right now the NIL is a state-by-state issue. So because why are we at this point in time, Marvin? Because the NCAA did nothing on the subject for about 8 years. Not a thing, except pass the buck.
Okay. You know, if you bring the House in, that, I mean, to me, that's the weak point in that chain. I remember when Sheila Jackson Lee mentioned that we sent men to Mars, and that's not so. And another one said that Russia invaded Korea when it was really Crimea. And I have to wonder, if you bring the House in there,
it doesn't matter whether what happens at a subcommittee hearing. It was really a laughable experience yesterday, because most of the Congress, I don't want to act like I've spent a lot of time there. I haven't, but I've been to some of these things, and you're lucky if you got a subcommittee in the House, which is 435 people and countless committees. You're lucky if half the members are even there, and those who are there even know what they're talking about. And it was pretty obvious yesterday they did not. We'll take a break. We'll talk more about that with somebody who was there and testified in about 20 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back here on a Thursday afternoon. We'll talk to Trey Burton, who testified in front of that House subcommittee at the top of the next hour. Todd is up next. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, bud.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to tell y'all this. I appreciate y'all even putting my name in that bracket. I get something good out of that. It makes me think that maybe I had a good call or two or something. But anyway, I appreciate that. But look here, if I'd have beat Larry, this would have might have been the end for Larry, Paul.
Listen, Todd, just between you and me, we thought about that. And you probably should have won, but we didn't want to be responsible
for him having
an MI.
But Paul, the older callers that we've been listening to for years, they're mostly great. And the one we miss is Charles from Realtown, and he had Jim figured out way back when.
For new viewers of the show, if you've never heard Charles from Realtown, you are missing on one of the greatest Feinbaum callers of all time. He's a Mount Rushmore caller.
Oh, yeah. He sure is. What happened to him, Pop?
I don't know. I mean, he called about a year ago. He seems like he's okay, but I guess whatever he does, he can't call anymore.
Well, I tell you this. If I had to listen, I mean, Charles would be one I'd love to listen to, but if I had to sit down and be entertained for a full day, the caller that I would love to sit down with would be Jerome. He would be the one that could entertain me a full day.
Todd, let me assure you of something, okay?
Okay.
I spent an afternoon with Jerome once. That cured me from ever wanting to listen to him talk again. I sat at a table. We were taping something for the Comedy Channel? The Daily Show. I'm sorry. The Daily Show. And who was there? Larry was there. Jerome was there. I-Man was there. I mean, it was quite a battle to see who would take a breath so the next person could talk between I-Man and Jerome.
Well, I figured Jerome, I picture Chris Tucker, you know, the guy that played in Friday. That's who Jerome, I'd be thinking that he would be like. But, Paul, you just have great callers. And, look, I want to tell you this. I sure appreciate you letting Jesus have some TV time. That preacher from Georgia called. And to me, Jim, he makes the Bible out to be what he wants it to be because he needs to read James to where it says.
Did you hear Todd, the chaplain we had on earlier? I'll interpret what he said. We have somebody cutting the grass outside our studio. We apologize. We know that they obviously don't think there's anything going on in here. but this. Let me speak about that for a second. There's one. We have a huge operation here. There's one live show going on right now. Am I correct?
One
live show going on. There's a lot happening here, but one live show. And this guy has parked himself literally right outside. And I know at 5:51 on a Thursday night, you have to cut the grass right here, don't you?
Right now. Yes, sir. It's got to be cut right
here. Yeah, I mean, there's no way that they could have done that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 o'clock or at 7 o'clock. But
no.
Guy has to be right here every Thursday. I mean, he's here every Thursday at the same time. He's a good worker, by the way. He shows up every Thursday.
Every Thursday, he's steady
as a clock. Yeah.
Can you imagine Stephen A. Smith having a guy? Well, of course, he's on the East River, so it'd be hard to be cutting the grass.
Yeah,
but anyway, forget what I was going to say there.
Well, the vacuum cleaner.
Paul, let me ask you this. Y'all are trying to get our government to straighten out this money situation we got. Are you not scared that the swamp is going to end up with part of the money?
Well, the good news is it's not going to happen, so I'm not overly concerned, no.
Right. Because they can't figure that out. But Paul,
and do you know why Congress is not going to take up NIL?
Why?
Because there's no money under the table for them.
That's right. Paul, let me ask you this. Why we send all this money to a country to protect another country. All right. Why can we not protect our kids in public schools and have guards at schools?
Todd, it's a question that many are talking about right now. Thank you for the call, though. William is in Maryville. You're on the air.
Hello, Paul. That was a great question. How are you?
I'm well.
Congratulations to I-Man and Handsome Joe and cheerleader in the Woodstock bracket. Going to be a good battle between two long-term callers. I want to throw something out to you in regard to the NIL and Fightner and everything. You know, to me, the problem is that, you know, Paul, life and the law are based on relationships. You know, there's landlord, tenant, and employer, employee, and debtor, creditor, and, you know, on down the line. But there's never been a real good definition of a student athlete. And I am fearful that some court somewhere is going to define a student athlete as an employee. And if that happens, it's going to open a whole can of worms because you know, employees are either at will or they're subject to a contract, and you've got, you know, potential unionization issues, you've got workers' comp issues, you've got salary issues. You've got a really big mess. And until somebody, and maybe the Feinbaum Commission should be formed of, I'll volunteer, and you get a couple of ADs and a couple of coaches, and you go and you spend a week and come up with, what is the definition of a student athlete? Is it, you know, is it contractual? Is it legal? And how does that lay the foundation for NIL, for the transfer portal, and for college athletics?
It's a great, it's a really good question. William, unfortunately, we are at the end of the hour. Maybe our next guest can answer it, since he is a former athlete and just appeared in front of Congress.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.